episode 254, Homeschool Adventures.
Yeehaw! Equestria! Merca!
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saren.
Shiva is stuck at work this week.
In server hell.
Yeah. She's pulling down some OT in the Chakat mines.
Yep. The couch mines?
Yes.
Yeah. Have to find the loose coins buried in the fluff.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, you just made me think of a video like a cat being vacuumed.
It's like... Some cats like it.
Yeah.
A lot don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it has been a week. The last episode did go out a little bit late. But that was for a good reason. My computer decided to nearly commit seppuku.
Sudoku.
Not Sudoku. I had to actually stop myself. Nearly commit Sudoku. I say that as a joke, but yeah.
At one point, you're just going to start saying it like that. People will be like, is he functionally retarded?
I think so.
He's a fanatic.
The derpiest of foxes.
He got fucked retarded. He was not wearing the sex helmet.
So my monitor started flickering on me and turning off, and it turned out that the primary hard drive fan in my iMac was starting to go out, which was causing overheating enough to the point it caused heat damage to my LCD, but thankfully did not cook my hard drive. But that meant that my computer had to go to the shop. Thankfully, I had AppleCare. Which means that I paid nothing, and it was in the shop for a week. I got a brand new shiny LCD, as well as new fans and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my computer is much happier, and Windows is performing much better because, well, Windows sits on my hard drive versus my primary OS sitting on my solid-state drive. So I dodged a bullet there because, yeah, I have audiobook projects that would have just been gone. And then I would have committed Sudoku.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
It's math puzzles.
So that AppleCare has really paid for itself on your iMac.
Like 10 times over.
Yeah.
Between the graphics card going out twice, the motherboard dying once, the screen getting damaged, and the replacement fan, I've gotten like $3,000 of like...
What's it cost, like $200 or something?
It was $300 for 3 years.
$300, yeah.
It's worth it.
You've kind of had a lot go wrong with that iMac. Is that normal?
Probably not.
Can you renew the AppleCare?
I don't think so.
Mm.
There was actually a known issue with the video cards that I have.
Oh, the one that replaced twice.
Yeah. Mm. It's NVIDIA something or other. Mm. It's still a pretty juicy... pretty beefy card. It's got 2 gigs of RAM, and I can get, you know, 30 to 60 FPS in WildStar with normal settings without having to futz with it.
Mm.
Which is actually nice because they've done, well, 30 to 60 FPS is standard for most gaming.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people like 60 FPS or nothing. Well, my computer is not quite that beefy. It is 3 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I can run a lot of games at max without problem. Anything 2012 and before, I can run at max.
Cool.
Which is nice.
I remember when Tieran got his new computer, and like, I don't play WoW, but you know, I'll walk by and look over his shoulder occasionally, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, at 16 gigs of RAM and like 8-core processor or whatever it is sure pays off.
Well, I got
it's some big ass video card. I don't.
Yeah. Well, when I went from my old white iMac, it was an original Core 2, one of the first Intel iMacs, to this one, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I could run WoW on Ultra. Not that I did, because I mean, it's just particle effects, and that just slows everything down.
You could see for a million miles.
Yes, the low poly game from 2004.
Mm.
WoW is seriously like a decade old almost.
Wow.
It's crazy to think about.
Hmm.
It's like kids in from 95 can now vote? No.
Yeah. Kids from 95 could
96.
Vote. Yeah.
1996.
Yeah.
Can now vote.
Yep.
The PlayStation came out before those kids were born.
Mm-hmm.
We are old.
Shut up.
Jurassic Park came out in 1994.
I'm like 8 years older than you, so I'm just like,
I know. Oh, shut up. Hey, I'll be 31 in less than a month now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Birthday presents.
It's coming.
Congratulations, you're not dead. Yay, it's a gift.
Yeah.
Other than
hopefully
that,
your body won't rebel from cutting off all of its delicious fat and sugar.
Tell you what, I mean,
replacing it with healthy.
I'm actually coming up on the 1 year of my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That was July 7th.
Mm.
And I am down 133 pounds.
Wow.
Right now. And I've been lifting a lot. In
yeah.
fact, I went to the gym today and lifted heavy things and put them back down. I actually was like, I had stuff that I had to get done, but I was like, I gotta get a workout in because I haven't gone for a week.
Yeah.
Because of various things. And I was out of town last weekend. And like, oh, I gotta get it. Gotta work. Lift those things. Put them down. Do the rows. Do the push ups. Ah.
Too small to control.
Oh, actually, that was something that happened in the meantime. So it was actually a good thing my computer went out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of beneficial in the grand scheme of things. Because I had other shit going on last week.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was in the hospital.
That's right, yeah.
He started passing blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bright red blood. And that obviously freaked him out. So instead of being the manly man dumbass that some people would do, he was like, I'm going to the fucking doctor. And the doctor was like, oh shit. And they admitted him. Because he's a bleeder, he got in the ER and admitted in like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they had to do an upper GI scope, and they were gonna do a lower GI scope, but they're like, oh, found the problem, like right off the fucking bat. So he was actually pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You
have a family of squirrels feeding on your intestines.
Actually, it's pain medication.
Oh, is that what caused it?
Yeah. Between stress ulcers and pain medication, it caused bleeding ulcers in his small intestine.
Mm.
Right past where the gallbladder is.
Yeah.
So that wasn't helping at all either.
Mm.
So basically, his body was kind of eating itself. So thankfully, they got him on some drug that basically Pepto-Bismol is your entire GI tract.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing much better. But he was in hospital for 3 days, and we didn't know what was going on for the first couple until he figured it out.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's 58. He just turned 58.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately everyone's like, I think it's cancer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. Because, I mean, seriously, I'm pretty lucky. Both my parents are still kicking. You know, a lot of my friends don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
So I was obviously quite scared.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
Thankfully, they figured it out. They found the problem. And I haven't heard back from my mom about the biopsies from the tissue samples they took. But I imagine if it had come back as cancer, I'd have heard about it by now.
Right.
So, yeah. And what's even better is my parents' insurance is like, the medicine that he has to take for 2 months
mm-hmm.
is only $5 a month.
Oh, good.
So it's one of those things that their insurance didn't fuck them over for once.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because, like, inhalers, like my basic inhaler, I have to pay like $50 for. I pay $7. It's just differing insurances.
Yeah.
So that's my crazy week. How have you? You've had a crazy week.
Yeah. I'll get into this a little bit, I guess. But so it's been on Twitter. You may or may not know. Tyrion's grandmother, my mate's grandmother, is currently in the hospital, and it's a terminal cancer situation. She's 83. It's not really a surprise, I guess. You know, but obviously it's still very sad. And as soon as Tyrion found out, it was like, you know, we got to make plans to go out there and visit. And Memorial Day weekend was coming up. So Tyrion and me, Tyrion's brother, all took a road trip out to Colorado over Memorial Day weekend. So we drove like 6 hours on Friday, and we stayed in Amarillo, I think is the... I always get Amarillo and Abilene mixed up because they both start with A, but it's Amarillo that's known.
It's up on 40.
Yeah, yeah, it's up on 40. Okay, so we stayed night in Amarillo.
It's flat.
Yeah.
We continued... Abilene is also flat.
Oh, it's but just somewhere else.
A lot further south.
Ah, okay. So, you know, on Saturday we continued the drive, and the bummer of it was in Albuquerque on I-40, there was a wreck right in front of us. And Tyrion saw it happen. I was listening to my iPod at the time and wasn't looking. But this basically an unsecured ladder on a utility truck fell onto the interstate lane. The guy in the truck stopped the truck to get out and get the ladder. Before he could do that, a motorcycle hit the ladder, bent the ladder, launched the motorcycle driver into the back of the truck, where he died basically instantly, and then launched his passenger through the air, where she hit the ground and rolled. Neither of them were wearing a helmet. So this is, I'm always like, I don't care if it's the law or not. You really should wear a helmet and protective gear if you're going to be riding on a motorcycle. I mean, but the lady was still alive. Tyrion's brother ran out of the car to go and help. An EMT happened to be stopping by on the other side, so that came in handy. But the woman still alive, in critical condition in a hospital. The man died, though. So, I mean, it was officially a crime scene at that point, and they had the CSI guys come out and do investigation and everything. And we were there the whole time. We were on the highway for like 2 hours waiting for like their detective to show up to interview everybody. They closed down that section of I-40 for like 3 or 4 hours, yeah. Which is like a major intersection right in the middle of the afternoon in a pretty big city.
And 40 is one of the major east-west highways.
Yeah. So they rerouted everybody around the behind it. But so that's sort of like, you know, it's a weekend when mortality is already sort of at the forefront of our mind because of the visit that we're taking. And then basically somebody dies right in front of us. And somebody else is badly injured, like blood all over our chest. So... it's kind of a downer of a weekend, I guess, to put it mildly. You know, Grandma got to see the two of them again. She's happy to see me, too, which is really sweet of her. But, you know, and that's always bittersweet because it's like, yeah, visiting Grandma, but you're kind of saying goodbye, you know. But it's good to it's great to have the opportunity to make her a little happy by showing up. And to be able to spend some final moments with her. So it's one of those situations that's hard. It's hard to really sum it up in a few words. But so then, you know, we headed home on Monday, which is Memorial Day. We headed out in the morning, got home at like 12:30 at night. And I must have got to bed at 1, and I had to get up at 6 for work. Mm. So Tuesday... Tuesday at work, I was short-tempered, easily irritable, not focused at all, and it was just a generally sucky day. And I know for Tyrion it was worse, which, you know, sucks.
I tell you what, that driver of that truck is probably going to be brought up in charges.
Yeah.
An unsecured ladder causing a fatality.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever.
At the very least, it's involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. And, like, anytime I'm behind one of them trucks like that, I'm like, fuck, is this. Because you know, everyone's like, oh shit, is this going to be another, like, Final Destination?
Yeah, moment? Is it going to, like, fly through your fucking windshield and impale you or some shit?
Well, like, I had a moment like that on the way home from the gym, right?
Oh, yeah?
There was a, somebody ran over a chip bag that got partially inverted, so it was a silver shape, and it got kicked up behind a car, and I, like, swerved in off the road because I thought it was something coming at my windshield.
Yeah,
it was. It was just a silver chip bag and not a chunk of metal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, your instincts kick in. It's hard to tell.
Yeah,
but
thankfully, my little car is really light.
You know, as an older guy, kind of a cowboy-looking dude, and I don't know if you're just dumb or just don't give any fucks or just don't think at that point. You know, it's like,
put that shit, get some bungee cords, it's duct tape it to your fucking rack.
Yeah, it was, I mean, everyone was going like 70 miles per hour. It wasn't like it was the middle of rush hour where it was a traffic jam and everyone's crawling along. Everyone was moving along at a good clip. You don't drive like 60, 70 miles per hour with an unsecured hunk of metal in the back of your vehicle.
Yeah.
You know?
Hit a bump and, well, exactly what happened happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if a car had hit it, you know, airbags would have gone off. Person probably would have lived. You know,
just would have ripped up the underside of the car.
There might have been a lawsuit and some car payment and some insurance, but a fucking motorcycle hit it, and that was just his bad luck that the guy that hit it was on a motorcycle and fucking died. I mean, tragic, you know.
So, here's our downer weeks.
Yeah, sorry. And then, you know, went to work the rest of the week. So now it's like, it's fucking 5 weeks to Anthrocon, dude.
Yeah. Hey, I've at least gotten half my project done for y'all.
Yeah, it's creeping up there. And I'm like, fuck, there's always so much to do. And layouts. Dude, store's been busy lately, too.
That's a good problem to have, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. But, like, I'm filling orders. Like, you know, we're getting a lot. Bad Dog Books is doing really well, too. Because we released the second part of second issue of Furious's Meteor Showers, which, you know, it's a love or hate with that art style, but he has really dedicated fans that really love it. So that's doing well. We put Fang 4 and 5 on Bad Dog Books finally, too. So
and that's just your digital distribution platform, including audiobooks and digital PDFs.
Yeah, at one point we'll include some audiobooks on there.
We're working on it?
Well, you said audiobooks. I just wanted to make sure people know, we don't have audiobooks yet. But
you will soon enough.
We will. And, yeah, I've got to add even more stuff to it.
Yep.
So shit's going well, but
it's just had some rough patches.
I just got to stay on top of some of my projects coming up for AC. Well, like,
hey, Akon's in a week.
Yeah.
I've got a table there, and some of Fiesta folks, I need to double check with Shiva and see if people want to come down and sit at the table / distribute some of the Fiesta stuff.
Because
If I'm getting a full table, I'm going to be there, but Fiesta deserves to come and distribute their shit as well.
Yeah. Do you know if you have a half or a full yet?
Last I heard, it was a full.
Sweet. So and, you will have room for somebody else then.
Yeah.
I could come and we could do Notcast Live from the Akon convention.
I don't think that would work out too well. Not because the content, just because it would be too loud.
Well, it'd be too loud, and also we're running, a kids' convention and a furry convention, and we're going to be sitting there talking about dongs. And
yeah, let's not do that.
You know, hey, register for Nightmare Nights and save 10% with our Adam and Eve coupon code. You'll get a parent in tow badge and a DVD of, you know, Stable Fuckfest and this bad track is dildo.
That would be terrible.
And also Andrea Lippman's autograph. Just throw it all in there.
A little bit of everything.
And a copy of Fang.
Why not?
I bet you somebody out there is like, oh my god, I would totally register at that level.
It's like the Skyrim Ultimate Edition. It comes with the dragon dildo and the dragon vagina.
It's not a dragon vagina. It's a mighty chalice that you drink from.
No, it was on 4chan. It was like,
yeah,
Ultimate Edition. It's the box edition with the dragon statue, and they had a chalice and a six pack of Coke and a dragon dildo with the dragon vagina and the bottle of cum lube.
What was the video game again?
Skyrim.
Skyrim. Okay.
Where you're the dragonborn and you fight dragons a lot.
Yes, and then fuck them the rest of the time. Totally. You're not fighting them. Yeah.
There's mods for that, I'm sure.
There's a mod for that. There's probably a mod where they have genitals, though, right? Where it'll be flying around with, like, a massive dragon dong. I mean, if there's a Fluttershy mod, there's a dragon dong mod.
There is.
I wonder if there's one where it's not a dong on the dragon. It's just the whole thing is a dong with, like, wings. And when it roars, it shoots pixelated cum across the landscape. There's
a Thomas the Tank Engine mod. Where it's a flying goddamn train. And it, whenever it roars, it's just toot toot.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's great.
Everybody reacts as if it was the dragon.
Yeah.
By the gods, what's that? Toot toot. Look it up. It's on YouTube, kids.
Oh, I gotta watch that. That's funny.
So, anyways, let's...
So hit our topic. This week you picked homeschooling. Notice this topic hits close to home, no pun intended for you.
Yes. And the interesting ways that has sculpted my life.
And so you're like, I had an interesting experience. Let's see what others had to say.
Yeah.
Do you want to share anything about your experience, positive or negative?
So I know why my parents did homeschool me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lived on the north side of Fort Worth in before school choice, before you could send your kids where you wanted to send them.
Uh-huh.
So my option, because we couldn't afford to go to the private school we were going to,
right,
private high school, would have been Northside High,
mm-hmm,
which was 95% Mexican, 4% black. And I'm a cracker.
Mm.
And it was one of the worst schools. Lots of gang violence, real, real fucking rough. And my parents were like, I'd prefer my kids not to die.
Fair enough.
So they homeschooled for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they did their best, and I understand why they did it.
Yeah.
And I certainly appreciate why they did it. And it also has just given me a very different perspective of life. I didn't have to go through the hell that was high school.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, junior high and high really sucked for me. And, you know, my freshman year of high school was in southern Mississippi, and I was in the minority, and there was gang violence in the cafeteria, like, every day. There would be, like two rival gang members beating the shit out of each other.
So I certainly do appreciate, in the long run, my parents having done that for me. And, I mean, we were going off curriculum that were out there. Briefly, they did have some, like, Christian homeschooling stuff, which had, like, creationism and other bullshit like that. And very, very, very briefly did they flirt with a particular homeschool group that put out – that we found – Well, it was a incredibly traditionalist, women should be in the kitchen, girls should have their hairs covered, vaccinations are Satan, and the internet –
wow –
was made by the devil.
Uh-huh.
And they decided that was a bit too crazy. Mm. So
your first task will be to highlight all the instances of Darwin. Wait a minute, this isn't a highlighter, it's a black marker. Exactly.
But I mean, I got to do a lot of cool stuff that I don't think a lot of kids get to do. And I mean, it also let me be the person I am today.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for good or ill, I think I'm doing all right.
Well, it's one of those things I always say, like, for good or ill, my past, I wouldn't change even the unpleasant experiences, yeah, because it all molded who I am now.
You could have done it without growing up in literal poverty, but, you know.
Well, Yeah, but that also would have...
Obviously never went hungry, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, all the shitty experiences made me the person I am today.
Yeah. So that was my homeschooling. My parents had a very good reason for doing it. It wasn't because the schools are full of horrors and Satan. It was because the schools were full of gang violence and we were crackers on the north side of Fort Worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I wasn't homeschooled, but I'm out of
it. So we actually got three emails that I can see from the topics. Now, maybe somebody asked us about in the Tumblrs, but we did get several emails. So yep. This one is titled Homeschooled. Yo. Good evening, Fuzzball, Sovereign, Shiva, and assorted guests. Well, it's just us this week. I hope this email reaches you in time for the show this week. I don't really have any horrible stories to share since my homeschool experiences was very tame, but I know I had to write in at least. I never attended elementary school or middle school while growing up. In that sense, my social skills were set back quite a bit, since the only real social activities I had were swim clubs and attending church every week. That was kind of my experience as well. I like to think what I liked in social skills and made up for in my grasp of mathematics, grammar, and vocabulary. So when I did finally start going to public school in the second half of freshman year of high school, one of the most awkward and quiet kids in my classes, I at least had my twin brother with me through it all, so it wasn't quite as bad as it could have been. We were still horribly awkward. All in all, I wouldn't recommend homeschooling. I'm just glad my experiences were nothing like the other horror stories that I heard about other homeschooling situations. Keep up the work of the podcast, Fuzzies, Nurmatsu Zenpa.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, your homeschooling was in high school, and you'd already gone through the socialization phase of your early childhood, which is...
Well, I was the fat poor kid, so I didn't exactly have a lot of friends. Yeah. I did have several good friends, and like my I mentioned my friend Nolan and his wife and his 6-year-old kid. It's fucking crazy. He's got a 6-year-old. Came out and saw me. We've been friends since we were 8.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like I'd had a very small core of very good friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus a lot of like people that I hang out with all the time, and then the peripherals.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I've grown up a bit, and I have good close friends, regular friends, and then the peripheral folks.
And everyone else was like, "Why is he talking that way? His hoof smells like cream cheese."
But that's interesting. I mean, if you never attended elementary school and middle school, then that had to have been pretty awkward. But I guess you did all right. You know,
you write like you write email like a sane person. So
yeah.
So that's a good start. Okay, so the next one is being the homeschooling parent. Greetings, it's the Trucker Fox of the Upper Midwest checking in, and I'll be one of those parents that homeschool. Well, my mate will be doing most of it since... My mate will be doing most of it since I'm away from home so much. I know you guys have heard the horror stories of kids raised with homeschooling and may get more for this episode, and I certainly hope to not become one of those parents. My mate and I are not planning to do this for religious reasons, and I agree that homeschool prom you mentioned in the last episode was more than creepy. Or indoctrination fears. But because of my job and the poor performance of our local schools. Which makes sense. We knew right away with our kids that we didn't want our kids to be in the public schools near us because of their bad reputations. We looked at transferring to other schools outside our district. Wisconsin allows that to a certain extent. Charter, private schools, and homeschooling. There were some good options within driving distance for us, but it mostly came down to my job, and I only get 2 days off at a time. Those 2 days always bounce around. That being the case, we all try to make the most of it when I am home, and didn't like the idea of the kids in school when I am there. It was either that or take them out and cause their grades to suffer. Unlike regular and even private schools, we can completely tailor the homeschool to our situation. This way the kids get all the time with me when I'm at home. I could be involved with their schoolwork and they can make up any needed work other times during the week. It would still be a 5-day school week, just those other 2 days aren't always going to be the weekend. There's also a healthy homeschool atmosphere in our area from what we've seen. We're going to be using the K-12 program for curriculum, which is like a DIY charter schooling that you do on your own with online courses. There's local groups that we can get together with for doing field trips and extra studies outside the home. For social interaction, we will see what kind of interests our kids take and sign them up for those kinds of activities with the various youth programs available. Once the kids get around high school age, we may consider enrolling them into an actual school, depending on how things are going. We'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it, though. Signing off, Nare Mooncat.
That's cool. Well, I mean, you seem to be doing it for the right reasons, obviously. I mean, if your kid, if the schools suck, it's sometimes better to tailor it yourself. And as long as you have social interaction for the kiddos,
yeah,
you know, that's good.
I don't know if I'd mentioned this before on the podcast, but like in the neighborhood our house is in, we noticed when we first moved in there, our first Halloween, that there were like no fucking kids. Like nobody around us has kids, and we found out that it is because we are very close to the district line for school districts, and that all the families with children live at the other end of the road on the other side of that line. Because one side of the line goes to Dallas ISD, and the other side of the line doesn't.
It goes to Carrollton.
Yeah, or Plano. Somebody said it was Plano ISD. Doesn't make sense. It's probably Carrollton, Plano.
It has to be Plano. It has to be Carrollton because Plano is north and east.
Yeah. So, and Dallas being a big old city, their school district doesn't have a good reputation like some of the more wealthy suburbs do. So people that are planning on having a family specifically bought their houses on the other side of the line so that they could utilize the better school system. So that explains why everyone around us is elderly and retired or gay. There's just a lot of folks that are not planning on having kids. So, which, I mean, is fine for us because we don't have kids either and don't particularly like kids. But it was interesting to me, and I actually think it's kind of cool that, like, parents really go that mile, like, with they really care about their children's education. Like, Tyrion's parents specifically sought out, like, this one neighborhood that was in the area that was going to go to the right school district for he and his brother. And I think that's kind of cool. It definitely explains the logistics of our neighborhood, which I thought was neat.
Well, you know, my area was firmly in Fort Worth ISD, and the school down the street from my parents' house taught half-day English, half-day Spanish.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I first met you.
Not that that's a bad thing, but...
Well, I was going to say, for an idea of the area, I remember when I first met you, and you were telling me how your parents' van got, like, 3 bullet holes in it
from
a gang drive by, and that like just happened or something. And that kind of gave me an idea of the neighborhood that you grew up in.
There was a gang fight between 2 houses at one time, like in 95 or so.
Wow.
That basically 2 gang members from opposing gangs found out they lived across the street from each other.
Uh-huh.
And there was a full-on gang battle across the street, and like fucking Molotov cocktails, dudes got shot. One of my friends who I had gotten involved in the gang went to prison for a decade.
Wow.
And the Molotov burned out the other dude's house. So.
Fuck,
man. That was exciting.
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad I never lived in a neighborhood quite that bad.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's one of those things. All right, I got another email one.
Okay.
Homeschooling. My mother homeschooled, quotation marks, me during 6th and most of 7th grade. It wasn't for religious reasons, but the local public middle school was grade 6, 7, 8. She felt I wasn't old enough or ready to or whatever to be in middle school. Gasp. I say homeschooled because she was shitty at it and generally resulted in a lot of yelling. It wasn't horrifying, but I still felt that I missed a lot. Not just education-wise, but when I went to 8th grade, I felt like I missed out on being around other kids. Missed out on the stories they told on getting to know the ones who weren't in elementary with me or just being there. Rechan. Yeah, you know, going back to Nare's email, you know, it's good that there is a community for that. Like, in North Texas, though, at the time, there wasn't really much of a homeschooling scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is now. It's become more common. But, like, the one organization was that one kind of really crazy right-wing one, religiously conservative one.
Uh-huh.
And, obviously, we were not a good match for that.
Mm.
But it was just sort of like, you know, my socialization basically boiled down to church.
Yeah.
Where I was the poor kid.
Hmm. Yeah. That's common in church, though.
Yeah. We were the cooks. We spent like 5 days a week up there doing, working for the church. I worked for the church. It was my first job. And, yeah. Fuck those guys. So, let's see. We got a bunch of Tumblr questions.
Okay. I'll hit one of the Tumblrs. This one really doesn't make any sense, so. Let's see. Oh, we got Tumblr and Tumblr 2.
Okay, this Tumblr question, the one that was between the homeschooling emails.
Uh-huh.
I was like,
I can't see where it is now because I've already deleted ones.
Okay,
go ahead and read that.
Okay. Say no to sex trafficking. Dear Notcast, comments made in 252 touch on a matter of grave importance. Do not engage in sex trafficking, and if someone wants to sex traffic with you, tell them no. Do you want to have to tell a grieving family that the accident happened because you were sex trafficking? Never forget, distracted driving kills. So instead of sex trafficking, you're talking about roadhead. But I was like, did we say something that they misconstrued, or somebody just taking the piss? No, somebody taking the piss.
Yeah.
So yes, don't give hand jobs and drive.
Yeah. Speaking of sex trafficking, remember that story I told? It's been a couple of years.
Which one?
When I worked at my previous job, my first fucking day there, because I had transferred there from Florida when I moved in with Taryn, and I sit down in the lunchroom, and there's two girls talking at another table, and the news is playing, and they're running a story on human trafficking. And one says to the other, I just don't see what the big deal is about jaywalking. And completely unironically and sincerely, and her friend tries to explain it to her, and I'm just like, I'm looking for the fucking hidden cameras because I've got to be being punked or something, right? I mean, and I think I blogged about it that day, probably on LiveJournal at the time, and people were like, oh my God, there are really people that stupid? It's like, how do you get to be an adult working at a bank and, you know, where you would think someone who's educated and reasonably intelligent at that point? And,
you'd think. But you it also hope. Could just be them not knowing the words. I don't know.
I know. I'm just like, welcome to Texas!
Yeehaw!
I've been in town for like 2 days. Oh, well, I'll read this really long one. Yo, thanks for the awesome show, guys.
Smiley face.
Smiley face.
Canister devil. Well, thank you.
Woot. I'll hit up another one here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is an anonymous one. Okay. What are your thoughts on furry physics? E.g., a fox easily being able to take in a large horse without showing any damage or bulge of the top's titanically large dick with pleasure. So, what do you think of the furry physics, Saffron? You're a fox. Tell me how that works.
It turns out that, and this has been scientifically proven by Bonk, and
yes.
And,
go on.
What's that fox character's name?
Kip?
Kip Fox, yes.
Okay.
That fox anuses actually are, when entering, actually are an extra-dimensional portal that takes you into basically a giant cavern.
They're like a wormhole.
Yeah, it's a wormhole to a dimension of just fucking. So whenever your dick goes in, it just vanishes from this plane of reality.
It's like fucking a portal.
Yeah, it's like fucking a portal. That's how it works. Because otherwise, they'd just be fucking dead.
So foxtail holes are the aperture.
Yes. That is science.
You know, unless belly bulges are your kink, in which case, on those occasions, they do show.
Yeah.
It's porn.
It's porn. Don't think about it too hard.
Actually, you know, you see the gay porn of guys taking like an 11, 13 inch cock, just ramming it in there. I mean, I guess it's probably like that.
Yeah.
What are they stretch? Didn't we talk about that? How like it actually changes the direction of their colon or something?
Yeah,
like
it kind of straightens out the large intestine.
Hmm.
because it's a 90-degree bend.
Yeah.
But over time, it'll fucking straighten out a little bit. It can actually kink the... Because I'm making hand gestures here. It's kind of like an L curve.
Uh-huh.
And
it's like a Shiva.
Okay. And then it's like kind of becomes a wider angle. The fucking intestine reorganized itself.
I wonder if a chaka has ever been fucked with a cock so big that it made them straight.
You know, or it could L-shaped. Just, or foxes could just be like Anamon Citras, where they're just a tube from the mouth to the butt.
You're just holding it like a fleshlight, just jamming it down on your cock, and your cockhead is like brushing against their tonsils, and that's great because it's a little extra stimulation.
Yeah, you know,
rubbing against the roof of their mouth.
But yes, it's the magical realm of furries. They have discovered that magical butt portals, because otherwise there'd just be dead people left and right.
Magical butt portals would be an amazing episode title, or possibly a band.
Yeah,
it's a good band. Also, Lady Junk is a good band name. I'm thinking either ska or punk.
Lady Junk, that'd be a punk band, probably.
Yeah.
Ska's just...
Here's a track from our new album, Flicking the Bean.
Yeah. All right. So here's a actual relationship. Generic relationship advice inquiry 34725B. Greetings, compadres, broadcasting the likes of round bulbs that ties things up within. I am in a burgeoning relationship of sorts for 4 months now, and I'm personally feeling a snag on my own end. While I can say that it's rather early for a few months in, rather early with a few months in, let me bring in some backstory. So I met this classmate of mine in college last year. How sad are
we that we actually do the hand gestures for that? Because it just kind of goes.
Because you can't just do it without the hand motion.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And of course, do we have listeners old enough to recognize that? I'm sure we do. So I met this classmate of mine in college last year around August. We soon became friends with near-matching interests. Discovered he was a furry, an artist, and an exceptional one at that. Had a goofy, cheerful disposition, yet still intelligent and shy, as well as similar fetishes and kinks. Months later, in February, he admitted his love, and we hit it off like a match made in heaven. And for the most part, it was. A few caveats lay ahead, though I didn't let it go in between us. While we did go to the same school, we had little time together outside of such. He lived 30 miles away, under the control of stereotypical Asian parental units with no driving skills at the time, and hesitant on transit due to paranoia set in from said parents, and thus can't get out of the house much beyond school and work.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I cannot go up for a visit for this very reason as well. We have been planning on finding a place of our own during spare time. However, Northern California Bay Area prices kind of put limits on things, effectively making this more or less a localized long-distance relationship. Nevertheless, the thought of being together remains in mind and also led me to a recent epiphany of guilt on my end. Hey, you could always move to Oakland. I personally am fortunate to have grown up with caring and open family, raised in an encouraging environment, more or less have spare time to explore and interact where and when I please. Being rather active in the local furry community, don't really care much in the way of political or controversial Tumblr-esque issues, being more laid back and apathetic. Once I've read or heard on a major issue, I don't really have a desire to do so again, not being so fond of having such thrown in my face as I considered akin to saying the sky is blue. Despite acknowledging and being aware of said topics, but don't speak up on such out of personal fear of my own opinions, I also treat projects casually in a relaxed time frame to maintain sanity, often getting things done surprisingly well at last minute. While nothing worth having comes easy, being productive and maintaining a healthy mindset while achieving my eventual goal is my highest priority.
I hope that last paragraph becomes relevant at a point here.
It seems to on the next,
okay.
Next paragraph. So he's like, I'm a pretty laid back dude.
Yeah. See, this is where editing comes in.
Yes. My mate, on the other hand, is restricted by cultural paranoia, them considering anyone outside of a close family be a psycho murderer, from going out for fear of him joining gangs, having to request permission to leave the house beyond class and work. Because of such, his self-esteem was understandably low. With minimal social life beyond the web, having been rendered shy all his life due to social rejection, unable to go out to improve such. We discussed persuasion and explaining that given his age, both of us over 18 and young 20s, he should be free to go. This usually backfires. He's rather vocal about issues to the point, while not being a social justice warrior, he is cynical on life, continuously pointing out issues that pop up on the dashboard. His workplace involves customer service at a dying mall, and all of which combined has left him a rather cynical and glass-half-empty viewpoint. He does, however, remain dedicated to his work, spending weeks and days with little sleep to finish many a final project. By comparison, I feel guilty to be free to roam and mingle, no, not in that sense, about the place while he is restricted to a dead-end job and hell at home. I relate to him, having had similar issues in the past. I'm left today after a severe emotional breakdown due to aforementioned issues on his end that was eventually settled, wondering how I, casual, laid-back, fun-loving, spoiled, slacky dreamer, get along with a determined, vocally cynical, mildly disadvantaged workaholic. His work ethic and strength to carry on have made me notice my own weakness, of which it may have been mentioned slash realized by whomever is reading slash listening at this point. I don't feel worthy enough to deserve him, but don't really want to hurt him by needing space and or reducing to friends. The time spent thinking on this, as well as interactions thereof, have made a noticeable hamper in productivity on my end. I am, personally and honestly, at a loss of what to do. It has left me in thought and reflected on myself and my actions in the process. I am empathetic towards him, and we do help each other out as much as we can. I'm asking for your own two cents on this, as I, personally, am at a loss. Thank you for taking the time to read this surprisingly long email, and I look forward to hearing back or listening in when this is read on air. Sincerely, a Marfy Wolf Fox Thing.
You were overthinking this. That's what I've got to say about that. I mean, and I can kind of tell that from your writing style, that you're overthinking this. Unless this has come up as like a major argument between the two of you, you're feeling guilty about something that he's not really said anything about to you, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I agree with Fuzz.
I kind of scanned it looking for the issue, and I'm like, I don't really see it. Basically,
he feels not good enough, which, why?
Right, so
if he likes you,
you're,
and he's sticking around with you, you've only been together 4 months, he's not making an issue about it.
I mean, basically, you did a Tumblr-esque thing, checked your privilege, and figured you had more than he did, and now you feel guilty about it. Right?
Pretty much.
So, unless he's making that an issue, it really isn't one.
Yeah,
It's kind of like I was talking to somebody about a couple that had this relationship where one of them made a good amount of money, and the other one didn't. They were working an entry-level job while going to school. And instead of doing what a normal couple would do when you go out to a pricey restaurant with your friends and the more well-off guy would pay for the couple, what this couple did was the guy with the better job just went by himself because his mate couldn't afford to go. And that was
recipe for a disaster.
It's a really shit thing to do, and it's really bad for your relationship.
Yeah.
So unless you're using your privilege to kind of lord it over him or something like that, then unless you're being that kind of prick, I don't think I'd worry about it. I think it's good of you to notice his issues and to feel that to empathize with him, that you have it a little better, maybe try to make things easier for him. If there's anything you can do to help him, to pick up any slack and things like that. But it's good of you to emphasize, but I wouldn't over worry about it.
Yeah. Again, if he seems very critical and willing to bring up issues and nitpicky things, I'm pretty sure he'd tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's very cynical and jaded, then I'm gonna guess he would tell you.
Yeah. I mean, your outlooks on life may be at odds, but you can still get along. So you're working that out somehow. And, that may be the spark of some interesting conversations, as long as it doesn't lead to, being an argument.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But it's something that, in those instances, maybe your more positive attitude could help to slowly lift him out of the dumps. Also, I think his dumps are very understandable given his home and work situation. But that's not to say that you can't help to lighten his spirits a little bit, you know? Yeah. And also, once he moves along in life and, like, if y'all finish school and he gets a better job and stuff like that, you know, that may change his life outlook overall for a more positive point of view.
Yep. All right. I read that long one. You get to read some short ones, maybe. Yay!
Okay, let me see what we got here. Okay. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Scroll. Oh, fuck!
What?
This is a long one. Like a quite long one. Let's see. Okay. Alright. We've got two here that are connected. Question to all from Mike the Fox. With the rise of preteens and teens that flood the fandom with poorly drawn pinups and ill-conceived stories and fanfictions, how do you generally separate into a majority the people that are serious or actually are part of the fandom from the children, I'd have to say? And then he added to that in a separate email, I'm doing a report on gang violence in Arlington, Texas, mainly pertaining to where I lived, Park Row, Pear Street Lane, and Cooper Crossings. What is your opinion on the gang activity and drug trafficking in the DFW area? Again with the trafficking. This episode. We should just call this episode Traffic.
Homeschool Traffic.
Spelled with the CK. We're trafficking and homeschooling. That first question. How do I want to approach that? It's like, everyone's going to be younger and first joining the fandom. If you don't like them, don't get involved with them.
Cooper, Park Row, and...
Don't watch their artwork on FA. I mean, everyone's
got... Park Row, Pear Tree Lane, and Cooper.
You're interrupting me.
Sorry, dude.
It's like, use your inside voice. No. It seems a little judgmental. I mean, yeah, I know there's a lot of shit out there. There's a lot of shit characters. There's a lot of bad writing. But everybody kind of starts somewhere. And, I mean, just... I don't know what you're actually asking, I guess, is part of the problem. Sarah, stay with me on this. That first email. There's, like, separate out the children. It's like, first of all, don't use that fake geek card. You know, like, separate out the people that aren't serious about it. You can't really make a call like that. You know, somebody might into furry for 2 years when they're 16, or they might be into it from when they're 14 to 30.
Hey, I found furry when I was 13.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, I mean, I was obviously not super into it, but I certainly interacted with the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it in our particular case, our social circle is of older furs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, the oldest, the youngest is probably Sero, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Kia's older. But most of our people are, like, 25 on.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of how we self-selected.
Well, we also all kind of aged as a group.
And, yeah, because I met you when I was, like, 24? Maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah. I was still driving that fucking van.
It would have been earlier, because I moved to Texas 9 years ago when I was 27. So you would have been 19?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
so.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. Wow. So, and then, you know, we've gradually grown older, and now you're in your 30s, too. But... Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer because, I mean, what are you trying to do exactly? Are you just trying to find good artwork and stories? Browse FA. You know, on, like, sites like, I knew I said Giftstar, So Furry, you know, where shit is actually rated by other people, you can look for the higher rated stuff to kind of work out what's good. Or are you looking to not hang out with the people that you see as the dumb kids? well, then don't hang out with younger people. And if you are younger, it's probably some people 5 years older that think you're one of the dumb kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're old enough to be moderately like, oh, if you're under 25, we don't consider you fully cooked.
Yeah. I mean, you sound like you're trying to be a little bit above the, you know, like kind of looking down on other people. And it's like, yeah, I say dumb kids, but I'm like, I was a dumb kid too. Everybody was. But I don't know. You just have to learn like everybody else, you know, make friends, and some of them might stay in the fandom and some of them won't. And, you know, some people will be friends for a little while and then they will go off the rocker and be assholes. I mean, you never know. You're just try to use good judgment and don't get too overly emotionally invested in somebody as a friend before you've known them for a while and think they're relatively stable.
So the reason I was kind of going talking about Park Row and Cooper,
yeah,
because I grew up, my first house when I was a kid,
uh-huh,
I lived on Highland, which
is that one of the areas that he mentioned?
Yeah, it's actually right near where he mentioned. I grew up on the 11 or 1200 block of Highland. There was just one of those, yeah. And apparently that area went heavily Asian and started having a lot of gang problems later.
Hmm.
But, you know, I moved from...
I don't know much. I'm just going to put in my two cents. I really don't know anything about the gang issues or drug trafficking in the area. It's just not
I do know that the Fort Worth gang division is very well funded and has done a pretty good job of lowering gang violence in most portions of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because my parents' neighborhood has gotten a lot quieter. So there's that. But it was just one of those, oh shit, that guy grew up like right near where I grew up. Let's see. Stuff is disappearing. Oh
yeah, you can do a couple of things.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a really long one. We'll skip that one.
There's a Tumblr question.
Let's see. We are glad to hear that you are still alive, Kurochi. He had a heart issue, went to the doctors, and is recovering. He wrote us quite the fabulous wall of text that is really, really, really quite long. But I'm glad you were listening, and we are glad you are still alive, because we do not like... Well, we don't like furries dying, we don't like listeners dying, and we don't like furry listeners dying. So let's not do that. Okay, so, let's see. Tumblr, someone asked a question. Hello, Notcast. I've got two questions to ask. I'm curious, what do you guys think of pegging? Pretty hot.
Yeah, pretty hot.
What do you guys think of long-distance relationships? I feel I can't find any guys or girls that are anything like me, and both sexes at my school are very immature, it feels like. By the way, I'm still curious about Bo. Who is he? What does he do? Thank you for taking the time to answer my questions in response to my earlier misspelled question about it. Is it about if I was by curious? Dork. Still curious about B.O.?
Bo. Bo knows football. Bo knows baseball.
Bo Jackson.
Bo knows.
Bo knows. How do you find guys? Long-distance relationships are fine. Just make sure you compartmentalize them as such. You know, long distance, you know, try to find somebody on your continent, usually a good idea.
That's a start, yeah. Preferably in the same country.
Yeah.
Just
hang out in furry chat rooms, IRCs, you know, get to know some people. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Just gonna say, always amused when I see a question that says, I'm at school and people around me are immature. And I'm just kind of like, you know?
Well, yeah, you're still in school.
Give it time.
You're all immature.
Yeah, give it time. You will all grow together, and soon you will find yourself surrounded with people who are not immature.
Who may or may not be interested in the dick.
Right. Or the V, or the A. Or the N. No sex. It's very kinky. The unstretchable orifice.
So, there is one more email. We did have another Tumblr question about Adam and Eve ad. Make a pre-recorded commercial, because with our contract with them, we have to do a live one.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was one of the things, you have to do a little segment each show, not just record something and be done with it. That's why we talk about a new item and whatnot.
Oh, okay. I just figured it was lazy, because we just never got around to like doing any
special project. No, it's actually prohibited.
Well, I guess if we recorded a new one every week, like if we did a little skit or something. But
that would take work.
Right, yeah. But and then we couldn't reuse it if it has to be a new one every time. So.
It is funny because Giant Bombcast recently, they have a couple of sponsors. Mm-hmm. And, Kevin Smith does his, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The bird of salesmanship.
Yeah, he did the bird of salesmanship, and then he has the hell boxes of the Postal Service.
And Giant Bomb's on it, and it's always like, hey, small businessman, and they actually do a skit each week.
Right.
And it's actually pretty funny. But they do the same thing, and also the, do you like going to the hellscape that is the post office? They're like, no, I'm a busy small businessman. I don't have time to go to the post office.
Right.
Stamps.com, it's all that shit every week. It's pretty funny.
So ours will be, hey, small anus man, would you like a bigger anus? Well, you can shop at AdamEve.com and use our coupon code NOT.
That's KNOT.
For it, buy yourself a big old dildo to stick in your butt. In fact, there's probably something like a butt plug with varying degrees of plugitude for slowly expanding your tat ass.
I bet there is. They're called inflatable butt plugs, Bob. What do you think so, Jim? I think so, Bob.
If you're so tight that when you fart, only dogs can hear it, go to AdamandEve.com and get yourself something. Hey, stretch this shit out, because you never know when you will be like, oh, that cock looks so delicious, I have to have it inside me right now. Even if you're like right in the middle of the dealer's room at Anthrocon, and Anthrocon does not endorse this, you'll be like, oh, stick it in me.
And, oh no, you're too tight. Well, you can avoid that horrible fate by getting a inflatable butt plug from AdamandEve.com.
Yes. And you won't even, after a point, you won't even need lube,
Always use lube.
It'll just be so stretched that when you're getting rimmed, your top can like play your asshole like a kazoo.
And hey, the Crystal Jellies Anal Starter Kit is $34.95. I got a bunch of other bugs too.
Cool.
Check it out.
Believe it or not, that was all entirely improvised.
Yep. It's like we've been doing this kind of shit forever.
Okay, so there's one left. Do you want to take it?
All right. Advice for a conflicted, slightly depressed fox.
Okay.
Hello, Notcast. I'd first like to thank you so much for doing the show. You've helped a lot of people and given them plenty of laughs along the way. Please forgive me if this question has already been answered. I've only started listening to Notcast, and though I've been marathoning episodes for the past few weeks... No, you fool. I still have many more to finish.
See, we need to get on Netflix so that people can binge.
Oh, my God. Binge listen to us for like 3 weeks or so of audio out there now.
Notcast, a Netflix original, starring Saverin, Buzzwolf, and Kevin Spacey.
I was going to say Kevin Smith. My question.
You'd be more likely to do it like Kevin Spacey.
Oh, you guys talk about dog people and fucking and dongs? That sounds great.
Actually, he would be fascinated just listening to him. When he's like,
tell me more about these horse people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's always like, I want to hear about people fucking and the different things they do, and nothing is not interesting to me when it comes to seeing naked people.
Yeah.
We could blow his mind.
All right. My question may require a little bit of background. I was born into a very conservative Catholic family where I was raised to believe all the stereotypical Catholic values. By the time I was in high school, however, I was questioning not only my values, but my sexuality as well. These questions only became more persistent after I found the furry fandom.
Uh-oh.
That happens. Where I was drawn almost instinctively to some of the more explicit gay artwork.
That happens.
That happens. It wasn't just a matter of titillation, though. I felt genuinely warm and happy whenever I saw work depicting two male lovers, whether they were just being intimate or simply dating. Eventually, I befriended several furries, and after I discussed these feelings with them, they helped me come out to myself as bisexual.
I can only imagine that night. We're going to help you, and by the end of it, every hole is gaping, and you're just covered in a layer of white, like a winter wonderland.
And you're like, I think I'm bi now. Oh, honey. Anyways, there was one problem, however. My parents discovered my internet escapades. Don't ask how. It's a long, embarrassing story. When they asked for an explanation, I was forced to come out before I was ready. Needless to say, they were not pleased that their eldest son was interested in dating boys. My mother panicked and redoubled her efforts to convince my siblings of the evils of gay marriage, while my father went to the police, convinced I was talking to sexual predators online.
Jeez. Oh,
things eventually calmed down after a very long, hectic, and stressful year, but my parents never accepted me, and they forbade me to date other boys while I was living under their roof. It has been a few years, and money troubles have forced me to go to college while living at home, having been able to date a few guys privately, but the secretive nature of these relationships has meant that they are generally short-lived and painfully shallow. I cannot afford to upset my parents until I am self-supporting, but these last few years have been very lonely for me. Even when I do graduate, I feel I will still need to make the choice between my family and my happiness. What is more, I feel extremely guilty that even if I were to date and eventually live with another man, my family would still only see him as a stranger, not my loving partner. The fact that they are against gay adoption doesn't help either. If I were to start a family, I'm worried they would never acknowledge it. I've got an answer prepped for you. I suppose this is more of a story than a question, and I know that I'm worrying about issues that might not happen for years. I still need some advice, however. How can I form a meaningful, lasting relationship in spite of the fact that my parents will tolerate it at best and condemn it at worst? I know that their opinions are misguided, and they're still my family. But they are still my family. And the fact they will never accept me or my partner is very painful to me. Thanks a lot for what you do. I'm sorry for the wall text. I'll be grateful for any advice or criticism, no matter how brutal. Vivi the Corsac Fox. I guess that's a type of fox. I should look it up.
I believe it is, yeah. So, what is this answer?
Your family can... You're going to have to come to the realization that your family's going to have to eat a bag of dicks. Because you are the only person that can help make yourself be happy. And I would not deny myself a relationship or a future adopted family because my parents would not accept it. My parents are great. They would. They've gotten a lot better over the years. And I think yours might as well. And if they don't, it's really their loss. Because, you know, you have to be able to accept yourself and live a happy life regardless of what your family thinks. I mean, you know, it sucks that you're relying on the home and, you know, having to come out early before you're ready. That always sucks. You know, that's not something we ever advise, people coming out before they're, you know, sure of their family's positions or self-sufficient. You know, we're always like, oh, go to college before you come out. Let them pay for that. You know, covering your own ass and ensuring your future. Yeah. But with you, I mean, seriously, dude, it's unfortunate. And while you're still at home, you're not going to be able to have a meaningful relationship like you want. And that really sucks. But after you're out of the home and living your own life, don't shackle yourselves to your parents' condemnation. You have to be able to say that's nice to their opinions and live a life according to how you feel is right. You know, you can't shut yourself off from the world because mom and dad don't like the fact you're dating dudes. And, you know, if you eventually marry and adopt and have kids and they don't want to, you know, they don't like your adopted grandkids, well, that's less grandkids for them, I guess. It sucks, but maybe your eventual partner, who is, you know, at this point, you know, theoretical, know, we'll be more accepting. You never know. I mean, I've lucked out, right? My parents have been very accepting of me and Panther. And they weren't too keen in the beginning, but they got a lot better. And his family has been very supportive of he and I. And, you know, we do family stuff together. And at least on his dad's side, usually. You know, we get to go to the Thanksgiving stuff on his, you know, on his dad's stepmom's side. And they're very welcoming, very accepting, and all very nice. You know, we get invited to all the family things. That's great. So, you know, even if your parents aren't, odds are, well, I would like to hope that any eventual partner you do get and hook up with will have a supporting family.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much on the same page there. I think we've discussed that before on the show, where it's kind of like, you know, I would say at best, don't burn your bridges with them. Try not to have like a screaming rage fest and then storm out. But, you know, especially once you're out of the house and you're financially stable by yourself, don't mince words with them. You know, don't let them ignore it. You know, you'll let them know in uncertain terms, you know, this is my life. This is my partner. This is our child. You know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, they'll either accept it or not. I mean, yeah, that sounds kind of pithy and basic, but really that's it. You know,
it's pithy and basic, but it's true.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, parents eventually come around. A lot of cases, time varies from person to person, but sometimes parents come around, you know, and there's those rare instances where they never do.
That sucks.
And that sucks, but I hate to say it, but one of those things is it is what it is. And you have to put your personal happiness at the forefront of your life. And you definitely can't sacrifice your potential for long-term happiness because of outdated views.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, as my, like I said, when I first came out, my parents were very not thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, you can never act on it. It was like the first thing my mom ever said to me after I came out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, sure, I'm going to go be celibate. Yeah, fuck that noise. But I was 17.
Yeah.
You know, it's been coming on 14 years since I came out.
Yeah.
And now my parents give zero fucks.
Mm-hmm.
They love me. They love Panther. And we're cool.
Yeah.
I'm the good kid. Just saying. So it's good.
Yeah.
And it did take a few years for my parents chilled out, but they did. And I pretty much guarantee you that the thought of not having grandkids, to, you know, adopted or not, will change their tunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, if that's a possibility, that's definitely something they'll probably be thinking about. So. As for the other thing he mentioned was being, like, did he say, I don't forget, did he say lonely or depressed or about not having much of a social life right now? That I'm just going to chalk up to being, that is the short-term sacrifice for getting a college education.
Yeah. It turns out college life is not in fact frat parties and beer. It's hard work if you actually want to get your money's worth. Yeah.
And even if it's not, I mean, you know, like I didn't do the frat parties and beer thing, but I did stuff like I didn't have a car for part of the time I was in college and had to spend like 2 hours on a bus every day getting to campus and back. And it's one of those things where it's like you do what you have to do. When you're in college, generally you're young and broke and you can't do all the fun shit. And, you know, I remember that being a real divide. Like, we had this discussion in my economics class when I was in college, where it's like, you can have the fun stuff now and spend what small amount of money you have on beer and parties and vacations and stuff like that. Or you can not do that, focus on your education instead of working. Or if you do work, you know, you're saved for a car or some other long-term investment. And it's all about a short-term loss for a long-term gain.
Yeah. Get your education, dude. It'll pay off in the end.
You know, and don't focus on finding a relationship. It will probably happen, if it's going to happen while you're in college. Just maybe focus on finding some gay or bi friends that you can hang out with and have something in common with. Maybe a friend with benefits, nothing serious, nothing you have to worry about bringing home the mom.
Yeah, because that wouldn't go over well.
Yeah, but yeah, that's about that. So, do you have an idea for next week's show, or? I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't really have it on the moment. Next week will be the preparation. We'll have. Oh man, next weekend is going to be exciting.
Oh yeah, so next weekend is ACON.
Is ACON, and I will be both tabling there and also helping out with the cosplay stuff. I will be a cog in the machine.
Maybe if I can escape from prepping for Anthrocon for a little while, I can swing
and
by.
And the con table area is not in con-controlled space. It's in public space.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a badge to sit at the table.
The only bitch of it will be finding parking.
You can park by the Renaissance, the giant lipstick hotel.
Oh,
all okay. That parking next to the trade center and all that is open parking for... It was last year. It was mm-hmm. is open parking. You just have to walk like half a mile.
Oh, okay.
Which... I remember walking it last year, and I tracked over 3.5 miles with my little jawbone up at the time.
Nice. Because
I walked the length and breadth of that hotel 3-4 times.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's 7 acres indoors.
Wow.
Fucking huge.
The other thing I'm going to throw out there, been a while since we've had any con reports. This weekend...
Califer.
This weekend that this episode is dropping, Califer is going on. So if you attend Califer this weekend, please, consider shooting us an email with your con report and let us know how it goes. There's also been another buttload of furry conventions lately, it seems like. I think Furlandia was a couple weeks ago.
Is that the Portland one?
Portland one, yeah.
Didn't it run later in the year last year?
It may have, but this year it was last weekend.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, so it's already happened. And of course Motor City happened a few weeks before that.
Yeah.
And I think it seems like there's another couple coming up.
Probably.
I'm not sure. Oh, Indie FurCon should be sometime. I thought they were in.
Yeah. I feel bad because I don't track down. I don't track the furry cons nearly as much as I probably should.
You know, I
should.
Used to have a really good handle on this, and now
now there's so many.
Yeah, I really can't do it without looking at the web and being like, oh, okay, because they're really 10, 15, fine. Now there's like 30. It's just
So many furry cons. God, what are you trying to be, bronies? Well, no, because furry cons don't catch fire and explode like at least 4 of them are going to do this summer. I will have tales for you, people. I have such sights to show you. So,
where we're going, we don't need eyes to see, but we're going to the Brony convention.
Exactly.
My cutie bark is eyeballs that have been ripped out from your head.
That was the hell cube,
Jesus.
So, on that note.
No. Think of something else to say. Furry cons, awesome.
Yeah, furry cons, woo! Tell you what, Anthrocon's got a fucking good lineup this year. They actually have guests that people will give a shit about.
Oh, you said that out loud.
Oh, shit.
No, but seriously,
let me rephrase that.
guests that people
know.
Okay. They're mainstream guests, not the dude who made Underdog.
Was he a guest one?
He was a guest one year, okay. And then the dude that did The Last Unicorn, which is a bit more notable than Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
But this year they've got Lee Takar and
Jim Cummings. And I'm actually really excited about Jim Cummings because he was one of the voice actors I followed back in my like voice chaser days when I was really into voice acting and who all was behind the characters I loved. But my favorite show back when I was a kid was Tailspin, and Jim Cummings is the voice of Louie the Ape and also Don Carnage, which, you know, fueled many a young furry's fantasy, I'm sure. Yes. I know there's a whole generation of us Tailspin furs that were like, the first like intro thing we got into. Oh. But he's also Darkwing Duck and Negaduck on Darkwing Duck, of course. Monterey Jack on Rescue Rangers. I know he did some work on Gummy Bears.
Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
He's Pooh and Tigger.
He's still doing stuff. He's doing voice acting in WildStar. He's the leader of the Granok militia.
They do like a search on YouTube. I think probably Winnie the Pooh Star Wars will bring it up. But at a con recently, kind of like how they did that big panel of people that had Kevin Conroy and Tara Strong and Billy West on it, where they did Star Wars and a bunch of different character voices. They did one similar to that, except they had Winnie the Pooh playing Darth Vader in Star Wars. So he's doing the Pooh voice, you know, demanding to find the plans and, you know, interrogating the princess and stuff like that.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. So, yeah, I'm going to have to dig out some Tailspin stuff. I know I've got a DVD set. I've got a real nice Tailspin promotional poster from the 90s somewhere. It'd be kind of
cool. Lee Takar has been doing a lot of voice, too. He's done a lot of stuff.
Now, I only know his name because it came up in the Brony community. He snips and
also he was the gay sea serpent from episode 1.
Right.
Episode 2.
But he's done a lot of other stuff beyond that.
He's Captain Incidental Voice Man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a lot of incidental voices, but he's also done a bunch of voices in prior stuff,
mm-hmm.
which feature Anthro characters.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure.
So I might, I'm going to talk to Tyrion and see if it's carving out some time to go to a couple of the panels, you know, with the guests this year.
Yeah, you know, I would have liked to have gone this year, but family obligations came up.
Oh, yeah, that's understandable.
So. But go forth, have fun, and get Don Carnage to sign your plushie.
I don't have a Don Carnage plushie. I should get one.
Did they ever make those? I don't think they ever made product for Tailspin.
They made some. They actually had a line of action figures.
Really?
Yeah, which I had. I don't think I still have them. I think they're like in my mom's storage unit, which, you know, got tossed. But yeah, they had a line of action figures. They were actually pretty cool.
Just think if they did a reboot of that. They kept the setting.
Yeah.
And everything. They just upped it up.
Yeah, they need to. That would be great. Like,
if they just rebooted the fucking Disney afternoon.
It's fucking diesel punk. I mean, this shit would sell nowadays. Kids would eat up Tailspin.
Yeah.
Currently, you know, this is the end thing. I mean, 1937 fucking planes. Fucking big ass floating sky fortress with helicopter blades, you know,
triplanes, biplanes,
air pirates, fucking adventure comedy. I sound like I'm trying to sell the fucking show, but I mean, no, seriously, I'm like, why the fuck don't they do something with this property? You know, they have this IP. You know, and for a while, they back in the 90s, early 2000s, they actually had a comic.
Yeah.
But it only ran for like 7 issues.
I think the Darkwing Duck comic lasted longer.
Yeah, well, they brought it back, didn't they?
Yeah,
Darkwing Duck later on.
I don't know if it's an ongoing, but it could be.
Yeah, I'd love to see them bring back Tailspin in some form. I mean, even if you wanted to make it for an older audience, because you could make that setting kind of gritty. As well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, I mean, and like, you know, kid's an orphan, his parents are dead, he had to deal with the pirate being a pirate.
Slave boy, basically.
He was a slave boy, basically. I mean, his backstory is already kind of gritty, you know? Yeah. And, like, even the comic,
Rebecca got the company because her husband died. Wasn't that part of the story, too?
No, she got the company because Blue's an idiot. She bought out Baloo's mortgage on the business. But, yeah, Rebecca's husband died. I mean, because she's a single mom. She's raising Molly on her own, you know, and doing the businesswoman thing.
You have Shere Khan being the ruthless business tycoon.
Yeah, whenever I read Common and Precious by Tim Sussman, and, the Siberian tigers are like a big part of it.
Uh-huh.
And the father is like this businessman. It's like the head of sort of a mob. And I always just sort of pictured Shere Khan in that role when I was reading that book.
All that fucking art deco design.
Yeah. There's that great scene early on in Tailspin when he gets pissed off and he just snicks his claws out and just grates them across his desk.
That was in the fucking intro.
That's right, yeah, but it was actually...
It was early on.
I think it was in the pilot, the two-hour pilot. Yeah, so, we just for a fact out about Tailspin for like 10 minutes.
That's better than stopping the episode about whatever grim bullshit we were saying earlier.
Right, yeah, so I'm looking forward to meeting Jim Cummings, and I will totally dig out my some Tailspin merch to have him sign.
On the note.
Good night.
And big balls.